This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom today. I ask that the Lord would pour out upon us, upon you, upon me, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God today, so that we could hear the Word of God and that our hearts will be touched by His glory, by His presence, by His mercy. Today, I'm looking at Isaiah 40. The scripture says, comfort, comfort my people. You see, Israel was in Babylon, and he's telling them they're leaving Babylon, going back to Israel. But today, he says to you, I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. I have plans for your life. I speak tenderly to you today because I love you. I love you. I love you. You see, the love of God is being poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. Romans 5:5, that's a wonderful scripture. The love of God is being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. That love that flows from Calvary and from the risen Savior to you today. You might need to be comforted. Well, God wants to comfort you. But not only that, He wants to make you fully alive in Jesus. You say, I don't feel it. I don't know what you're feeling. It doesn't make any difference to me. Or doesn't make any difference to the Lord. But He has a word for you that He wants to comfort you and put you on your feet so that you would be a witness to the Lord Jesus. We are living in dark days. We need witnesses of the Lord Jesus that would go out and proclaim the love of God to people and the forgiveness of God through the blood and through the sacrament of penance. It's for you today. That comfort, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid. I'm telling you, the penalty for your sins has been paid in the blood of Jesus. No more, no more. You do not have to be stuck on the penalty because you have been forgiven when you went to confession. Oh, yes. I know there are women that today are feeling the penalty of their abortion, and it hasn't left at all. They wake up with it. They go to bed with it. But Jesus wants to not only forgive, but wants you to let go of the penalty of torment. No more torment. God has graced you with the Holy Spirit. God has freed you with the blood of Jesus. There's no penalty. You went to confession. It's over. What I tell women that have had an abortion after they're prayed with, to go and have a mass said for the child, that they name the child and have a mass said for the child. They don't need to tell anyone it was an aborted child. They just need to do it, and God will do the rest. You see, it's all about forgiveness. I know people that have come to me that have had experience with abortion, but God has forgiven them. They are not in torment any longer. I know when we stand by these abortion mills, that these women are going to be sad until someone tells them that the Lord Jesus forgives them. I'll never forget, I was by the abortion mill. It was around Christmas, and there was this young girl with a brother and a mother. It was around Christmas, and the mother left the girl to go into Planned Parenthood, and she took the boy Christmas shopping. I'll never forget this young kid. She's a kid. came down and she was sick to her stomach. Planned Parenthood didn't care. So we got her some Coke and that Coca-Cola would settle her stomach. Planned Parenthood got their money. That's all they cared about. But you see, we cared about the young woman. She was only a kid, maybe 15 or 16, and she needed people to love her. Her mother and her brother went out to buy Christmas things. How stupid. How stupid. What an awful mother that was. And so we prayed with her. I remember her sitting on the curb, and I'm just placing my hand on her back that the Lord will comfort her and let her know that Jesus loves her. You see, we're not at the abortion mill to cause trouble. We are there to save children and to help women that go in. It's awful times, you see. Many times you see a boyfriend bringing a woman to Planned Parenthood, and he goes back in his car. He pays for the abortion, and the poor woman has to suffer after the abortion that she did away with her child. It is so important that the woman needs to hear God loves you and wants to forgive you. God has plans for you. Your baby is with Jesus today. What you did was a sin, but go to confession and just forsake it. Repent. You do not need to carry that for the rest of your life. I've had women that have come to me that have had an abortion 30 years ago, and still they carry the burden of pain. Not necessary. It's all about the forgiveness of God. It's all about the love of God. It's all about the love of God being poured into her heart by the Holy Spirit. The church has been told by the Pope to minister to these women, to care for these women. You see, Planned Parenthood just wants the $800 or whatever it is that she's going to give them. There are no free abortions in Planned Parenthood. No free abortions. You've got to pay up front. It's a baby-killing machine. And we, as Catholics, need to do something. You see, when we're outside the door of Planned Parenthood praying the rosary, people who want to come in often do not come in because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. And we tell them, if they do come in, that they are loved. They are loved by God, and that he has purposes for their lives, and that he wants to forgive them if they have the abortion. We pray with them afterwards if they let us. But we are hated by the people in Planned Parenthood. We are hated by them. You know why? Because when people see us or whoever is out there, they're ashamed, and some of them do not go in. But you see, the church needs to be at Planned Parenthood. The church needs to be there because people are like sheep being led for the slaughter. They pay for the abortion, and then they have the guilt and torment that the devil says to them, "You killed your child." That's why we need to be there to minister to these women, to minister to these women. I remember a man many years ago. His name was Stephen. He was the father of the baby. She was going to have an abortion. He wanted to keep the child. He wanted to keep the child. But the woman said, "No, I'm going to have an abortion." He said, "Please, let us keep this child. We can bring it to birth. I'll do everything I need to do." She says, "No, I'm going to have the abortion." Stephen, his name, was almost weeping. He wanted his child to be born. You see, it's not only women that are affected. But men are affected too. Men are affected too. How many men have said, we brought our girlfriend to Planned Parenthood, and that was the sin that we committed, for they were going to kill their child? How many men have said, we need to be forgiven for what we did? But you see, who's going to minister to them? Who's going to minister to them? They're not going to be coming to church. So the people outside the abortion place must minister to the man who did not want the abortion. I remember Eleanor talking about a couple that were going into Planned Parenthood. I remember that their battery was dead. So Eleanor called AAA, I believe, and got them a battery and paid for it. They were changed, that somebody cared for them, that somebody wanted their child to be born. They changed their mind because someone was loving, someone was kind, someone was forgiving. That's why we need to be out there. It would be wonderful. I remember one of the bishops used to go out dressed as a bishop to Planned Parenthood many years ago. He's now dead. He was transferred to New York. I remember him going out dressed as a bishop, asking people if they needed prayer, asking people that he loved them, telling people that he loved them, praying for them, praying for them, praying for them. We need to be out there. Thank God that there are people outside of Planned Parenthood on Commonwealth Avenue, because when the people that have abortions or want abortions see the people, many times they don't come in because they're ashamed. But they have nothing to be ashamed about. They're going to be prayed with. They're going to be loved. They're going to be asked to turn around because God has a plan for them and for their child. Oh, yes, God has a plan. Do you know that today, that God has a plan for you? His word today is comfort. Comfort my people. Let them know that their sin has been forgiven. Let them know that the blood of Jesus washes away all sin. Let them know that God has a plan for them, a plan that is wonderful, that God has a destiny for them. You see, that's why Christians need to be outside the abortion place, not only to prevent people from having them, but to pray for the people who had them and to care for them, because it's all about loving in the name of Jesus. These are the things that happen. They hate us to be outside Planned Parenthood. There's always someone there praying the rosary. I remember telling Eleanor, she said, what should I do? I said, you should go to Planned Parenthood and pray the rosary. And she did. And she became a source of life for the women. And so many children, over 300 children, have been saved because she was out there loving the mothers. She was out there asking the mothers to come home with her, and she would give them something to eat. These are the things that happen when we go the extra mile. But the extra mile is not often taken by us. We want to live a convenient life. I'm going to tell you, being a Catholic Christian is not convenient. We are to be on deck at any time, at any place, at anywhere. We are to be on deck. Last week, I got a call from Luxembourg, and I prayed with the woman. Whatever her problem was, I don't remember. But we prayed for the Lord to touch her and to give her life to Jesus. We are to be on deck at all times. Many times, my phone rings by people I don't know. They need prayer. They come to me because they need prayer. I have a woman in Maine that I pray with. And whenever I call her, she tells me, thank you for calling me. I needed you to pray today. It's not difficult, but the Word of God said, be urgent in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. And it's not always convenient, you know. You just need to be on deck for the time that you're awake. I get phone calls from every place. I once got a call from Rome. They heard my talk on the internet, and they called for prayer from Rome. My Lord, isn't that wonderful that they got my number and I could pray with them for whatever they needed? That's what we're allowed and called to do, to pray with people, to love people, to tell them the Lord wants to comfort you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to speak tenderly to Jerusalem and to you and say to her that she has served her term and her penalty is paid. The penalty of sin was paid through the blood of Jesus. We always ask people after we pray with them for forgiveness to get to confession if they're Catholic and to let it go. But someone needs to be outside there, because they're the last voice, even when they go in for the abortion, they're the last voice that prays for the person that had the abortion. These are the things that Christians have to do. You might say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, Christianity is not a comfortable thing. It doesn't call us to have comfortable blankets around ourselves. It has nothing to do with having a blanket around ourselves. It has to do with being awake and calling people, telling people that they are loved with an everlasting love. One of my friends came to me, and we were talking one day, and she came to the Lord as an adult with three children. And she said to me, Father Tom, you were the first person I ever met that told me that Jesus loved me. I said to her, you got to be kidding. You must have heard that someplace else. She said, no, I never heard that. You were the first person that ever told me that Jesus loved me. My. I remember as a layperson going to church one day on a hot summer's day in Lynn, and the priest spoke and said, I'm not going to give a sermon because it's too hot. So I went back to the sacristy to tell the priest, Father, you didn't need to say much. You just needed to say, Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Now we'll say the creed. You'd see people were out there that needed to hear that. Okay, it's hot. Okay, it's hot. And you're not going to give a sermon. But tell them something that they can take home with them, that they are loved by the Lord Jesus. And that priest was so humble. He said, thank you for telling me that. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't proud. He was grateful. And that's the way it goes. On deck all the time for the love of God. On deck to tell people they are loved with an eternal love. And that God wants to speak tenderly, not only to Jerusalem, but to them. That God wants to absorb their pain. God wants to absorb their pain through the blood of Jesus. You see, I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell anyone. Everyone in the world, they're broken. We're broken. Everyone. There's not one person that's not broken. And who will be there to care for them and just pray? Who will be there? You will be there. But I never did it before. That's right. You never did it before, but let's do it now. Let's do it now. But I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, then do it when you're on the telephone, when people are pouring out their hearts to you. You can tell them, I want to pray with you now. Will you let me? The telephone is a wonderful, wonderful thing. They don't know that you're scared. They don't know that your knees are knocking. They don't know any of that. But they've just poured out their soul to you. You just want to touch them with the love of God. You just want to touch them with the presence of God. You just want to touch them by praying for them. That's all you need to do, is to pray for them. You say, I never did that. Well, you know what? You never got a remote before, but when you got it, you learned how to use it. You never got a remote before, but when you got it, you learned how to use it. And how did you learn how to use it? By using it. How do you learn how to pray for people? By praying for people. I remember one person came to me and was at the abortion mill, and she prayed with one of the women. And she came to me and said, I'll never pray with another person. I laughed because I knew God had broken the system of not praying. And she became a prayer for the women who are coming in or going in, and for the women who have had abortions. This is real. You don't have to be afraid. You say, well, that's the priest's job. I'm going to tell you, they're not going to go to church. We need to be out places. We need to be the church. How do you spell church? C-H-U-R-C-H. You are the church by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. You are a member of the body of Christ because you've given your life to Jesus. You are the church. You will probably be the only gospel that people will read because they don't come to church. I understand that in Boston, only 10% of the people come to church. That means 90% are unchurched and unevangelized. We were at the monastery last week, and there was a priest there that says he proclaims pre-evangelization. I said, oh no, Father, because it's a choice between heaven and hell. And I'm going to proclaim the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to pre-evangelize them because it's a choice of heaven or hell. People don't talk about hell like it's not real anymore. But you see, it's real. And we have been saved from hell through the blood of Jesus. We have been saved from hell. You don't need to go to hell. It is not God's will that one person goes to hell. But they need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to turn to him in their brokenness, in their pain. They need to turn to him. Maybe that's you today. You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, very many times the way I pray is I call help. Help. I don't say anything else because that day I need help. And the Lord comes and helps me. Sometimes people will call me and say, I've been praying for you. And I tell them, you're listening to God. I didn't have a very good day today. You're listening to God. Thank you for calling. You see, we are the body of Christ. The scripture says when one member hurts, every member hurts. When one member is loved, every member is loved because we're part of a body. And Jesus is the head. You see, you have a place in the church. You just have been a pew potato. You've sat in the church, in the pew, and you left the same way you came in. That's not God's will. It is God's will that you leave changed because You've heard the word of God and received the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not God's will that we leave the church the same way we came in. We've just touched, consumed the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has plans for you, but you need to be open to those plans. That's what we're going to pray for. Father, in the name of Jesus, make your people open to the plans that you have for them. Make them open to do your will. Make them open to pray for people. Make them open to love people, even the ones they don't like. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.